Good morning. Well, at least it's morning where we're at.
Yeah, it is.
And we are here to talk about Women in Leadership podcast. And we have Alex.
Hello. Close.
And our special guest today is Tracy Flynn.
Hi.
Tracy's been in the church for a very long time, but we'll probably talk about that in just a bit here. So this is a very important podcast, and I'm hoping everybody will tune into this because it is a very rarely talked about idea and discussion in our church as well. So, So Tracy, you've been in our church forever. Tell us a little bit about your background with SGAC.
Yeah, I started going to the church when I was just a wee little baby in the nursery. So this has been my home church for my whole entire life. And grew up going to Sunday school and through the youth group. Spent some years teaching Sunday school and leading youth group, and had a group of girls that I discipled. And I did many Costa Rica missions trips and went to do a DTS with YWAM too in 2009.
Yeah. Where, YWAM was that again?
It was the, I did my DTS at the Heredia base that we were partnered with through the church missions trips. Yeah.
So you've seen pretty much all the ministries.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
maybe not men's and teenagers.
No, but not men's or teenagers, but teenagers one day.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, that's incredible. Like, that's, we won't say how many years, but it's been a long time. And I've known you through youth and through Young Life as well. So you're presently involved quite heavily with Young Life. Hey, tell us a little bit about that.
So I first got involved in Young Life when I was in high school. I went to youth group and at the church, and I attended Young Life. And I've been a leader for a few years, but in 2013, God presented me with the opportunity to go into full-time ministry and lead the area of Young Life here in Spruce Grove and Stony Plain. And so that was really exciting for me. I had planned to teach. That's what my background is in. But yeah, God very strongly called me into that position of leadership with Young Life and overseeing the volunteers and the teens and just growing the outreach mission in our community.
Yeah. So, and you've been doing that for how long now?
It's been just over 8 years that I've been in that role.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, we've been in contact through the Young Life years as well. And I've always been so impressed with how well you disciple youth as well too. And they just love you and glom on to you. I've seen many times where I've run into you in the mall or in Walmart or something like that, and you've got like four or five teens that are just following you around. And it's awesome.
That's great.
That's exciting.
Can you tell me a little bit about what Young Life does and what it is?
Yeah, I'd love to. So Young Life is, I like to think of it as an extension of the church. I don't think a ministry like Young Life can exist outside of the church or apart from the church. But it's an outreach ministry, essentially. And myself and the leaders go out into the community where teens are at, and we love them in their world and in their context where they are. Because there's a lot of people in our community that church is very intimidating, or it's a scary place to them. And so with Young Life, we go out to where teens are at, and we share the gospel with teenagers through the relationships that we build with them and the friendships that we build with them.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I remember talking with Mark a few times about how the church needs to understand that that's an extension of the church. Too often they would think that he was competing with them for outreach, and it's like, no, like, you guys, we're sending them to you to do some of the discipling. We're reaching them and getting them to get plugged into a church. So it kind of hand in glove stuff, and it's really important. So
Well, and our heart and our desire is for these teens, as they come to know Christ, to get involved in church and to understand that church is actually a wonderful place, and it's a loving place. And so, yeah, I think that they both need to kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah, for sure.
I didn't know you as long as Paul. but I have, we've kind of crossed paths a few times between Young Life and going to your banquet, which I really appreciated, by the way. Mm-hmm. But also recently, the Women in Leadership team and the discussions. And I have so been encouraged by your voice on that team. Yes. And by the spirit that you bring to that space. Sometimes with these conversations, you'll get, you know, the really angry on either side of this discussion.
Yeah.
Or you know, an apathetic, like, it doesn't matter, right. Which isn't good either. But you have this gentleness and this patience with, like, even myself and with, well, we all have patience with Paul.
It's a good exercise. You should see my wife.
She's amazing. It's just been really wonderful to always sense a peace about you and a love of the church with you. And I'm so appreciative of that. So what drew you onto that team?
I decided to be a part of the team because I love this church, and it's been my home church for years. And I think that this is an important conversation for our church to be having. And I wanted to be involved in that conversation and to help create space for others to have this conversation. And so that's kind of what drew me to being a part of all of this.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's been really incredible having you on the team.
Well, and so important too, because we can get real blinders on when we talk about this discussion as well too. And too often when we look through 1 Timothy, we get focused on a lot of the stuff where it's like husband of one wife. And so we're talking about married men. And so as a single woman in our church, how have you approached this topic?
Yeah, I think it's sometimes difficult. I think in the Christian church, just in general, not just our church, but I think that there is a huge emphasis placed on marriage and the married couples. Mm-hmm. And I think for some of us that are in our 30s and are still single, it can be a really hard place to be when there's so much emphasis on marriage surrounding. And it can feel sometimes like you're getting kind of lost in the mix of things. And that can be difficult sometimes.
Yeah. No, I think that would be difficult a lot.
Well, and like we were talking too, I think the main emphasis and thrust of that 1 Timothy, like that whole passage, the chapters there, is about maturity and faith. Mm-hmm. And this is what we've seen from you and have appreciated so much on the team. Mm-hmm. And I think we've missed some of the emphasis of certain verses sometimes there as well too. And so how do you see this discussion playing out in our church? Like, that's probably a broad question, but you've probably seen some of the things that we've already gone through with some of the question and answer and stuff. And like, what would you, as a single woman in our church that's being very involved in our church, how would you like people to approach this subject? Like, we always hear that it's more about culture and feminism and different things like that. Like, how do you see this in light of scripture?
I think for myself, I very, very strongly feel that God has called me to a place of leadership and ministry. And just through my journey and my story, like, I know that I'm doing exactly ministry-wise what God has called me to be doing and continues to call me into deeper levels of leadership within the context of the ministry that I'm doing. And so for me, sometimes it's difficult to read these scriptures and not have the understanding that God calls us according to the gifts that he gives us.
Yeah.
And so I know that God has gifted me in certain ways. I know that God has gifted me in teaching. I know God has gifted me with like this pastoring and discipleship. And so I want to be able to use those gifts that God's given me. And I want to be able to use those to share Christ with people and to impact people in our community and our church.
Yeah, and I think that's so important. I listened to some interesting, like, Jewish podcasts and how they approach the Old Testament and New Testament and stuff. And they say a lot of times, like, North Americans, we look for answers all the time. Mm-hmm. And Jewish scholars look for questions all the time. And I think that is one of the questions that we haven't asked in a lot of ways, is, like, people are like, well, and again, extreme complementarianism.
Extreme.
Where they say, women are supposed to be silent in the church. It says right here, this is a very literal passage. Mm-hmm. You can't speak. And then the question should be, well, why not? We've seen it in many other areas where women have spoken in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And if God says he gifts all according to his pleasure and will, not according to gender, mm-hmm. I would think, like, we should look at that and go, so if a woman like yourself is gifted by God, and I would affirm those gifts as well too. Mm-hmm. Like, you definitely, I've seen that in your life as well. Then if we're to say, no, you shouldn't do that because of your gender, mm-hmm. we're responsible to God in a lot of ways for that as well too. So mm-hmm. I just don't want to be that doorstop on somebody's life where God has called them to do something specific, and we say, well, my interpretation says that you shouldn't do this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be held responsible for that, I would think.
So, Tracy, could you, like, are there any areas that you could verbalize where you've seen the stance that the church currently has or has held for a while? Is there anywhere that you could say, like, this is an example of how I have been stopped, or this is an example of where I felt like I could not press further?
That's a good question.
I think that there have been a lot of people in our church that, as individuals, have been very supportive of mm-hmm. Young Life and the ministry that God's called me to do. And I feel like I have some great partners with some people in our church that have affirmed those things. But I think for me, from the church as a whole, our church as a whole, I don't necessarily feel that that has been the case. Mm-hmm. And there have been times in the past where there have been people that have said to me, I think you should just not do that. And I think that you should actually, you know, just stay a youth leader at the church rather than stepping into this calling that God was strongly giving me. And so I think that there have been situations where that has felt kind of hurtful, because I know, like, I know that this is what God's calling me to do right now.
Mm. Yeah, it's almost... it's almost as if a conviction that, I mean, may or may not be correct, but has stifled the work of the Lord in our community, mm-hmm. which we never want. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that we really have to think about. What I think Paul is saying when he says, I affirm that in your life, is that even in the short time that I've gotten to know you, you are faithful. Mm-hmm. You are fruitful. So that needs to be accounted for. You have been called into something and you are bearing fruit in that thing. And does that matter? Well, I think so.
Yeah. And yeah, I'd probably like to clarify too that I haven't seen that as much within our church. But when we look at the idea of complementarianism, we have to realize that there's quite a spectrum on that. Mm-hmm. And so you have to take that thought and kind of carry it to its end, mm-hmm. and see where some of the abuses of that idea might happen, right? And similar too from the other side. But I think it's always important to remember again that we're dealing with people, mm-hmm. not ideas. Like, yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. So what was it, Carl Jung that said, people don't have ideas, ideas have people. And we can see that sometimes on this topic where mm-hmm. people just take that one idea and just go to the extreme on it. And we have to be and remain faithful to mm-hmm. scripture on that. So
yeah. We've seen kind of over the course of this discussion a kind of an answer that seems to pop up quite a bit with people is, I don't think we need to talk about this. We just need to vote on it right. and get it out of the way because it's a distraction is what is kind of the emphasis. And so I'm wondering, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think we would be doing our church family a disservice if we just voted on it and moved on mm-hmm. because I do think that it's such an important topic mm-hmm. and I think that we need to have this space to have the conversation, because if we don't actually have this conversation, there's going to be people that can't just move on. It's right. too important.
Yeah.
And I think that this is an opportunity for our church family to come together and to maybe disagree well
yes.
or
yes.
to learn to hear other people's perspectives or experiences or stories and know each other better and love each other better in the process. Mm-hmm. And so if we were to just vote and move on, I think we would miss all of that. And
are you
that feels
saying,
unfortunate to me.
Yeah. Are you saying that this is a sanctifying work? Are you saying that the church is where we are sanctified? That sounds a little
careful. That sounds rebellious.
Oh, yeah. I love that you know that there are going to be people who strongly disagree with you, but that your language and your heart for the situation is not, I need to change them, I need to motivate them to my side, but your motivation is, how can we love each other well, even mm-hmm. in disagreement? And mm-hmm. I love the spirit of that phrase. I think that's super important to what we're trying to accomplish in our church. Mm-hmm. We're not going to agree on everything. We're going to have deep convictions, but we must lay them down to love each other well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I really strongly agree with you that we do need to have space for people to feel heard mm-hmm. and for people to feel valued for more than what they volunteer, for more yeah. than, you know, what they've done in the church, whether they've laid carpet or they've
yeah.
installed lights or done, you know, youth ministry or children's ministry for years. There's more to us than that. We have thoughts and feelings. And so I think it's important. You're right. It's important to validate those people. And even if we don't come to the same conclusions, we don't draw the line.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the line in the sand, and it can't be the hill to die on.
For sure.
And I think we sometimes forget that, like, we can disagree with someone but still love them,
yeah.
right? Like, we think that we can only hang out or have conversations with people that think the same way that we do.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
And I don't think that that's true at all.
Yeah.
No.
And that's the message of the gospel. And it's also the family of Christ that we're involved in. Like, it's not just that you're another member of our church. We are brother and sister in Christ. And that is a whole different level of accountability. And two, within that family, we have single women. We have single men.
Mm-hmm.
We have couples that can't have kids.
Mm-hmm.
We have people that have been married and divorced for whatever reasons. And we have to understand that those people live within our community.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at a verse and do a bunch of box checking, we are going to hurt our brother and sister by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know our culture is very much about cancel culture and sensitivity and stuff like that. But to have conversations in love
mm-hmm.
and looking out for that other person as opposed to just trying to, you know, satisfy my own means and ends
mm-hmm.
is a whole different thing. And that's where we're going to stick out against our present culture mm-hmm. is by loving well.
Yeah.
And demonstrating that within the church too. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that how we love each other within the church is also a witness to our community.
Totally.
And the people we're trying to share Christ with. Right? Because if we're having a hard time loving each other well,
yeah,
how are we going to love people outside the doors of the church yeah. well?
Who yeah. definitely don't think anything
right.
like what we're asking.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I agree. It is a witness. And I want this conversation to kind of be like one of those Old Testament stones of witness where
yeah.
we can look back and be like, man, look at that conversation that we had. But God was glorified through all of it. And I yeah. don't want to look back on this conversation and just see, like, opposition and anger and hatred and
right.
bitterness. I want us to be able to turn around and say, I remember that conversation. It was yeah. hard. It was work. But, man, it made me better. It made all of us better at loving each
yeah.
other.
Yeah. And for sure, we're going to have some that are, you know, I think we all want to be in that position of defending the gospel, right? Mm-hmm. And to die on that hill. And that's an interesting thing to think about, because I think we have some that think they are on both sides of this issue. Mm-hmm. And how do we love first? Like, it's almost like training wheels for everything yeah. else, right? If we can't do that well, then it doesn't matter what our policy is in some ways. And sometimes, yeah, we talk about doctrine and theology and that gets down a different road that I was trying very hard to not go down. But
well, Tracy, how do you see us learning to love our SGAC family better? How do we utilize and leverage this conversation to glorify God?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think you were just kind of mentioning this a little bit, Paul, but like, I think creating space to hear other people's stories and to hear other people's experiences, we are a family that we want to get to know the people that we're doing life with and that mm-hmm. we're in church with and that we're loving. And, everyone's story is different and everybody is at a different space in life. And I think that when we can actually, I think sometimes it can be easy to not feel like you have a place in the church mm-hmm. or even community in the church. And I know that I've struggled with that sometimes, even in our own church that I love.
Mm-hmm.
Being in the space that I'm in life, where I am a single female and, you know, you finish young adults and then where's my community, right?
Yeah.
And because we have this space in the Christian church, just in general, it's not just our church, where, you know, by the time you finish young adults, you're probably going to be married, right? That's kind of the assumption. And that's not the case for a lot of people. And
right.
as you mentioned, Paul, like, there are people that have experienced the loss of a spouse, or they, you know, struggle with infertility or are divorced. Like, there's a lot of different people within our church that when you don't kind of fit into that space of the typical, you know, Christian family,
yeah.
It can be hard. And so I think using this conversation to just hear people's stories and hear where people are, I think can help us to love different types of people in our church community better.
It's almost like through these conversations, and we've had conversations on the podcast with a few different individuals and outside of the podcast with a few other individuals, but one thing that I am starting to see is that the more people that I have telling me about and reflecting on their experiences, the fuller picture I receive mm-hmm. of our church. And kind of what you're saying, I think, is that we have blind spots in the typical, you know, married with three kids, mm-hmm. four dogs, and a minivan person that we're trying to project into our church. but we're missing and we're blind to an entire community of believers who are among us. Mm-hmm. And so in this conversation, we get to reveal those blind spots and correct them mm-hmm. in good ways, healthy ways. And I think that's always what we want in a family. Mm-hmm. If you have a child that is feeling left out from family activities or feels like they're not wanted or feels like, you know, they don't belong, well, that's never what we want. And as the family of God, if we have siblings and, you know, cousins and whatever in our family who are hurting or who feel misunderstood or misheard or misrepresented or just neglected because, you know, it's not the mainstream, then that's something we need to correct because it means that we're not loving each other well. And so, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, in Young Life, you probably see that too, where mm-hmm. you disciple somebody that's got purple hair and piercings yeah. all over the place. And you're yes. like, ah, is the church going to accept this person when I send them to that community to be discipled and loved and included? Mm-hmm. And yeah, we put way more criteria on people than Christ ever did. Hey, so, mm-hmm. and I think in a lot of ways, we really have to start there and love well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, once we get those training wheels figured out, then we can move on with some of the other bigger issues. Yeah. Which is sad because for a church that's been established for so long, I think it's a common thing that most churches end up having to deal with mm-hmm. is, you know, instead of making it a, you know, a community club or something like this, where if you can check all these boxes, then you're in, right? And that's not the criteria that Christ has. So.
Yeah, exactly.
And gender just becomes one of those boxes sometimes.
Yeah,
so.
For sure it does.
Yeah. So if you could tell us what your hopes for this conversation are, what do you want to come out of this? And I don't mean a verdict, because I don't want it to get too spicy. Mm-hmm. But
or maybe it should.
No, that's your podcast, Paul. That's
right. The Unheard podcast.
That's right. What are you hoping comes from this? What's your heart for this conversation?
Yeah, my heart, I think, is that people would have a space to have conversation, to feel heard, to tell their story. And in the end, for our church to be stronger and more unified because of that. I think it's hard to hear someone's story and to not love someone yeah. if you're actually hearing and listening to their mm-hmm. story. And maybe there is some healing that needs to happen through people's stories and that, but that's not going to happen with people not having conversation and sharing. And so I think to have the conversations, to feel heard, to have a safe space for people to share, and for us to just be able to hear different perspectives than maybe our own, and in the end just be more unified and a stronger family because of it. Mm-hmm. That would be my hope through all of this.
Mm-hmm. Sounds a lot like relativism, Tracy. See, and that's the thing. Like, I think we kind of go there sometimes and go, well, but I stand on the word of God. And it's like, well, okay, then let's hear your story. And it's such a disarming thing when mm-hmm. you say, I'm here to listen. Like, we've had a lot of people that have left the church for hurts and, yeah, probably just never had somebody say, hey, what's your story? How can we fit you into this whole family?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody can have something to do, right?
And the thing about being in a family is that no one person gets their way yeah. all the time.
Yeah.
No.
We are constantly deferring. And I think that's the mind of Christ, is that we constantly hold one another up above ourselves and yes. defer to their desires. I mean, not in a harmful way, obviously, but in a space where I don't think it's wrong to just listen to somebody you know, tell you about what their life has been like, what their experiences have been, and how that has informed the way that they behave now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's super important for us all the time, not even just within the church, but you're right, Tracy, like within the church, we need to be experts at that ability. Mm-hmm.
It goes even beyond just the gender thing too. Mm-hmm. We have a refugee family in our church.
Yes.
And like their experiences from a different country with the Taliban and stuff are something we should all be going to them and say, hey, Shafiq, like, tell me your story. I would love mm-hmm. to learn mm-hmm. from how someone with a Christian faith in a Muslim country, how you've gotten through that. Mm-hmm. And even somebody with a different skin color too, right? Like, these are all the cultural things that we've kind of got onto the edge of, but the church should understand as well too. And mm-hmm. and not just say, you're different from me, therefore you don't fit in, therefore you're not part of this family, right? And mm-hmm. that's not at all what the family of Christ looks like, so...
I love your heart, Tracy, because it reminds me of Jesus. And mm-hmm. I think that's super important.
Yes.
Because I can spend a lot of time listening to my own thoughts, my own convictions, talking with people who think just like me, who behave just like me, who want the same things that I want. And, you know, then I'm in a that's room with people who are like... Yeah, obviously you're right, Alex, all the time. It's amazing.
And we tell you that all the time.
Mostly it's my dogs that are like, yes, whatever you say.
Now feed me.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I see that bone in your hand. But it reminds me that the same spirit that dwells in me dwells in you, dwells mm-hmm. in Paul, dwells in... every member of our church who calls Jesus Christ Lord.
Yeah.
And the spirit that is inside of me is certainly not going to say, well, you can't love that Holy Spirit over there. Mm-hmm. That's just unacceptable. That is not the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit mm-hmm. dwells in all of us and causes us to love one another. That's what Christ prayed for, was unity mm-hmm. amongst his believers. And so I'm so encouraged that that's your heart.
Mm-hmm.
I just want people to recognize, like, she didn't say, I want it to go my way. I want yeah. this change. I need this change to be done. She yeah. said, I want us to love each other better and be unified. Yeah. And I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds like the church to me.
Sounds like something Jesus might say.
Well, and that's the thing. We have a tendency to characterize the other side a lot of times and say, well, you're all this way, therefore I can reject that idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. Like you said, we've got people that love Christ and want to serve him and are feeling that call in their life. And like, yeah, sometimes we need to step aside and let God do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And let my ideas be put on an altar. And if it's worth anything, it'll still be there. So.
Yeah. And if it's not, it'll burn up with the straw and drops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're looking for a book to read, I highly recommend Carolyn Custis James, pretty much anything by her. But she has this this kind of working idea that we need to get to work.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're willing to work, we're ready. We're welcoming. We're just going to let that. We're going to work for the kingdom of God. And so I just think that's kind of what we want. Is unity in the body, because that's what the people who just want to vote and get this over with want. They right. want the unity to exist. We want space for people who disagree and who don't always fit the square hole at the center.
Mm-hmm.
And
to read the scripture in mm-hmm. light of the church and in light of the Old Testament, in light of what Christ came to do, and instead of looking at a verse and going, this is what I want out of this, and I'm going to bend everything to make it happen. And that happens on both sides of this discussion, mm-hmm. for sure. And we need to let the scripture speak for itself and then do what it says. Amazing, hey? It's like this concept.
Well, thank you, Tracy, for coming today and mm-hmm. doing this podcast with us and for being on our team. and for being in our church.
Yes.
And for being a faithful, fruitful follower of Jesus that we can look to and say, he's still working. It's still going well. There is work being done, and it is glorifying the Lord. This is our last interview.
Sad.
Yeah, well, we saved the best for last.
That's right, exactly.
Well, thank you guys for having me and giving me just a space to share a bit of my story.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Coming up last is our Q&A podcast. So if you have questions, we may not have answers, but you are welcome to send us your questions.
We'll check with real experts and get the answers and make it sound like they're ours. So.
And if you have something that you want to say, that you want to share, email the Women in Leadership team. You can find that on the sgac.net website and connect with us, because we really do want to create space for all of the voices in this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Love others well and be effective where you're at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love God, love others well, and be fruitful. Totally. Yes. All right. Thanks, guys.